It's Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
A little bouncer slowly toward Bryant. He will glove it, throw to Rizzo. It's in time. And the Chicago Cubs win the World Series.
At 102.3 FM.
Cyclones won't foul. Cousins just dribbles out the clock. And Iowa State has knocked off the number one team in the country, Oklahoma.
On the 1650 The Fan app.
For Okmanesh, a three.
Good! You can't be serious with that shot.
And streaming online at 1650thefan.com.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
And now, here's your host.
I know I'm smarter than that son of a
Colbert.
Good afternoon, everybody. Hope you're having an outstanding Tuesday. I am your host, Cole Bear. Inside the Shirley Street studio, it is February 15 of 2022. Another jam-packed show lined up for you. And however you are tuned in, I appreciate it, whether that's on 1650 AM, 102.3 FM, on our mobile app, on your smart speaker, or streaming online at the all-new 1650thefan.com. Check us out on Twitter. Follow us at 1650KCNZ. I'm on Twitter at RealColeBear. Like the Facebook page. Just type in 1650 102.3 The Fan, and you'll see it pop up. And hammer that like button. Check out the website, as I mentioned, all-new. Bookmark it. It's where you find the podcast of this show, along with many great other pieces of content, all sorts of new content up on the site today. So make sure you're making it a regular stop for yourself on the World Wide Web. Number to dial if you want to join in today and ask any questions or comments, 319-277-1918, 319-277-1918, or you can dial 800-913-9479. You could also email me if you'd rather do that than call. By all means, fire away. Email address is Cole at 1650thefan.com. All right, area sports news and scores to get to here in just a few short moments, as always, to lead it off. After we do that, we take timeout number one. And most of you by now know the drill. We'll get you a CBS Sports Flash during that first timeout. Find out what's going on in the national sports scene. Also, we'll get you a VSiN action update from Brent Musburger and our guys at the VSiN Network in Las Vegas, so you can make some informed sports wagers tonight, including the Iowa State Cyclones on the road in Fort Worth to take on TCU. More details on that game in just a short moment here. Also, we get you a forecast for the rest of this tropical Tuesday, looking into tomorrow and Thursday. I did see it's not all sunshine and rainbows for us this week. There is a temperature. I don't know if it was Friday or Saturday. It's going to get down in the teens again. So it teases, but hey, I'll take a tease over the Antarctic, which we lived in for about 6 weeks, it felt. So we got all that for you in the first time out. We'll come back from that break. And on Tuesdays at 5:15, we like to huddle up with our guy, David Eichold of HawkeyeInsider.com, and a lot to talk about, particularly, I think, as it relates to Iowa men's basketball. Hawkeyes on a three-game winning streak with a chance to extend it to four Thursday night when they take on Juwan Howard's Michigan Wolverines. This lineup shakeup by Fran McCaffrey and his staff seems to be paying off quite well. I watched the Hawkeyes on Sunday. It was, it's set up as a pretty nice TV watching day on Sunday. You had the Hawkeyes against Nebraska at 1, UNI Loyola at 3, and then the Super Bowl kicked off at 5:30. And while the UNI Loyola game didn't turn into much of a TV watching experience, still though, I mean, I'll take 2 out of 3. It was a good TV watching day. And then again, in fairness, I'm not sure how useful it is to watch Iowa-Nebraska. What a mess the Cornhuskers are. They have one stinking win in Big Ten play. And don't get it twisted. I'm not here to be some Fred Hoiberg hater. Never have been a Fred Hoiberg hater. Even as a Chicago Bulls fan, when he got the Bulls job and that went awry, that was not his fault. That was just Gar Pax, you know, John Paxson and Gar Foreman, who couldn't get out of their own way. And that led to the firing of a lot of other people who, you know, had to suffer under their inept leadership for the Bulls. And I don't know, maybe, I mean, I'm not dug in on why Fred can't get it going to the level that I'm sure everybody expected in Lincoln. But I know this, they had a good basketball coach before Fred Hoiberg got there in Tim Miles, and they fired him. And talking with a friend of mine during that Hawkeye game on Sunday, he's a big Hawk fan, and he's going, man, what? I forget. Why in the hell did they fire Tim Miles? And I'm like, I do not understand it, man. I don't get it. And on top of the fact that Tim Miles was winning 20 games and took Nebraska to the NCAA tournament, I know at least twice. I think his last season there won like 19 games and went to the NIT, and then they fired him and brought in Hoiberg. Just, I mean, obviously hindsight's 20-20, but you're freaking Nebraska. When have you ever been good at Division I college basketball? And I mean like great, because there's been seasons where Nebraska's been good, like when Tim Miles was there. But when have they ever been great? It's like someone needs to buy them a mirror, because I think they've got the mirrors from the carnival or some type of mirror like that from the carnival where they stand in front of it and they see like John Wooden, or they expect to see John Wooden. I don't know. It's I'm shaking my head, because you're like, man, you know, Fred Hoiberg, he's pretty good about getting talent, and this just looks like a train wreck. Now, it does help that Iowa does have one of, if not the best player in the country, in Keegan Murray, and he absolutely, you know, ripped him a new one on Sunday. But sat down and watched Iowa basketball as, you know, it's just the way it goes. You know, there's only so much time, right? We all know this. And that's part of the reason, a big reason why you listen to the show, right? Because you want to hear all the different content that we bring you about all the different teams in our dose that you can tune in for, right? And so for me, I'm trying to watch everybody as much as I can. I will admit, hand in the air, I had not done probably the last two or three weeks a good enough job watching Iowa men's basketball. I'd probably watched more Iowa women's basketball, quite frankly, because Caitlin Clark is just epic, right? So I made a point Sunday, even knowing it was Nebraska, and you maybe had to take all that with a grain of salt. And so I cannot wait to talk to David Eicholt in the next segment of today's show. You know, another thing that crossed my mind, and I'm kind of running out of time here for it, thought I'd talk about it more, but then I got on my Tim Miles tangent, is if you had to pick a team right now, and I think the obvious answer, I don't know if I'd call it obvious, but I think if you're betting on a team, you're going to take Iowa, but I don't see a large gap between Iowa, Iowa State, UNI, or Drake. I really don't. The concern with UNI is the lack of a true five, right? Noah Carter's been great in that spot, but he's not a five, man. He's not a center. With Drake, you worry about durability concerns, injury concerns, Roman Penn playing on a broken foot. But other than that, they're the most experienced, oldest team in college basketball. They've been there before. They've done it. Iowa State has showed that they can be an extremely competitive and frustrating team to play against at times. Went 13-0 in non-conference play. Meanwhile, Iowa's back above 500 in Big Ten play. They're all in the same neck of the woods in terms of total wins, you know, in the teens right now. So who would you take? I don't think the question is quite as easy. I think it gets extremely difficult to answer if you drop Iowa out of there. I feel like if we did a poll on this, Iowa would probably run at about 70-some%, and you'd split, you know, the last three, Iowa State, UNI, and Drake, up pretty evenly, maybe with an Iowa State lean, because we are your official station for Cyclone Nation here at the Fan. But just some food for thought that ran across this big brain of mine today. And yeah, I couldn't help but smile when I said that, because I don't believe that. All right. Area sports news and scores. We'll dive right in here in just a moment. I got to tell you, third segment today, we're going to get a little Cedar Falls Tiger boys and girls basketball postseason preview from our play-by-play voice, Dave Finnegan. That's what we'll do in the third segment after we get Radio Iowa Sports from Todd Kim during that bottom of the hour break. After we're done with Dave, of course, we take the final timeout, get you an NFL Network update, Dan Patrick's Above the Noise commentary, come back and wrap up the show. All right, that's the plan, boys and girls. Last night, busy night of boys tournament basketball. District first round action took place in classes 1A and 2A. In area 2A games, Union ended Columbus's season 45-37. Dyke New Hartford defeated South Hardin 73-47. And New Hampton got past Sumner Freddy 45-41. In area 1A matchups, Dunkerton overpowered Riceville 69-38. West Fork edged Nashville Plainfield 52-50. Mason City Newman beat Tripola 79-56. North Butler got by Rockford 47-41. North Lynn cruised past Valley Lutheran 105-22. Maquoketa Valley rolled AGWSR 65-34. Janesville took care of East Buchanan 58-40. North Tama defeated Waterloo Christian 71-59. Wapsie Valley stopped West Central 54-22. Gladbrook Rhinebeck ran past HLV 85-41. And Hudson got a 73-49 win over Don Bosco. Regular season boys basketball in the Metro tonight. Cedar Falls hosts Dubuque Hempstead. Waterloo West is on the road at Dubuque Waller, and East plays at Western Dubuque. The girls high school basketball tournament continues tonight in the state's smaller classes. Regional quarterfinal games take place in 1A and 2A. 3A, 4A, and 5A regional action begins tomorrow night. Berths into the state high school bowling meet taking place today, for the Metro boys and girls teams. Cedar Falls, Waterloo West, and East competing in the 3A qualifying meet, while Waterloo Columbus is involved in the 1A meet. Qualifying teams and individuals advance to the co-ed state high school championship set for Monday through Wednesday next week in Waterloo. The state dual team wrestling meet is set to take place tomorrow in Des Moines. In 3A, top-seeded Waverly Shell Rock will go up against 8th-seeded Johnston. In 2A, 2nd-seed Independence takes on 7th-seed Winterset. And in 1A, number 1 Don Bosco faces 8th-seed Emmitsburg, and 4th-seed Nashville Plainfield will face 5th-seed Logan Magnolia. 13th-ranked Maryland held Hawkeyes star Caitlin Clark mostly in check last night on the way to an 81-69 victory over the 22nd-ranked Hawkeyes. The defending Big Ten champion Terrapins grabbed a share of first place with that win, their 7th straight. Clark led the Hawkeyes with 19 points, but it was on 7 of 25 shooting and 3 of 13 from behind the arc. She also had 10 turnovers. Iowa trailed by as many as 20, cut the lead to 5, but were unable to stop the Terrapins. Iowa basketball's Keegan Murray has been named both the Naismith Trophy and Big Ten Player of the Week. Sophomore helped prepare the Hawks to a pair of comfortable victories last week at Maryland and at home against Nebraska, where he averaged 33.5 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2 blocks, and 1.5 steals. Tonight in college basketball, the Iowa State Cyclones are in Fort Worth to take on TCU. Cyclones are looking to break out of a slump. They've dropped 4 in a row. They're in last place in the Big 12 at 3-9. They need this win tonight. They got to get revenge against TCU, who beat them 59-44 in the first meeting this season in Ames. You can hear all the coverage tonight right here on The Fan, pregame at 7, tip-off at 8. And finally, UNI men's basketball on the road tonight, looking to bounce back at Illinois State, trying to keep pace in the Missouri Valley Conference standings with just 4 games left in the regular season. The Panthers are in second, a half game behind Loyola. Tip-off is at 7. All right, let's take this time out. CBS Sports Flash, VSiN action update, and a forecast. All coming your way when we come back. We're talking Hawkeye Hoops with David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com. You're listening to a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company right here on The Fan.
CBS Sports Radio. Sports Flash.
Well, Joe Burrow was gimpy at the end of Super Bowl 56, suffering a sprained knee. NFL Network reported he will not need surgery. Ben Simmons and James Harden had their introductory news conferences with their new teams today. Simmons has a fresh start, saying he's looking forward to what's to come, that he thinks it's going to be scary as far as how good the Nets can be. Harden is happy in his new home, saying Philly was his desired destination all along when he left Houston, and is thrilled over the prospect of pairing with Joel Embiid.
The whole world knows how great Joel's been playing. Not just scoring the basketball, but rebounding. He got a triple-double last game. Just like his presence alone is unbelievable. And I feel like I'm the same way as far as, you know, making my teammates better and doing different things that impact the game at the highest level.
Harden plans to opt in on his contract this summer. Ryan Zimmerman announced his retirement after 16 major league seasons, all with the Nationals. And Matt Harvey took the stand today in the trial involving Eric Kay, the former Angels staff member accused of supplying the drugs that may have led to the death of former pitcher Tyler Skaggs. Harvey testified that he shared Percocet with Skaggs and used cocaine also in his days in New York, and also took pills in the dugout and clubhouse. I'm Rich Ackerman.
What's going on with Kyler Murray and the Arizona Cardinals? We try to get to the bottom of this later on the Zach Gelb Show. 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. CBS Sports
Radio. Listen to hole-by-hole coverage of the high school state wrestling tournament this week on The Fan. Coverage begins Thursday morning at 9.
It's time for Unfolding Futures. Here's Akwi Enji.
The Waterloo Career Center is the only high school program in Eastern Iowa that prepares students for any post-secondary experience they desire, including immediate entry into the workforce across a wide range of industries and occupations. We offer more than 20 career pathways for our students to discover where their passion meets profession. And it's available exclusively to Waterloo schools and surrounding districts. We're for every learner. The majority of our students earn college credit while still in high school. We've saved families over $1.25 million in college tuition. And we have students graduating and going straight into the trades, making awesome salaries right out of high school. Just this spring, one of our students, Elijah, was offered and accepted a job with a fantastic salary at JSR Construction. Our students are college ready and workforce ready. Visit us online at waterlooschools.org. That's waterlooschools.org.
Knutson Chiropractic in Cedar Falls has proudly been helping the community for three generations. I'm Aaron Knutson. At Knutson Chiropractic, we want to help you achieve your full health potential. We want to not only add years to your life, but add life to your years. If you're young or old, a weekend warrior or a couch potato, we can help your aches and pains. Give us a call or text us or visit us online at KnutsonChiropractic.com. Always up front so you can leave the pain behind. Knutson Chiropractic in downtown Cedar Falls.
This is Brent Musburger's VSiN Action Update on 1650 The Fan.
Heads up, sports bettors. Right now you can try VSiN All Access free for 30 days with no credit card required. Visit vsin.com/freemonth to sign up now. Here are the latest lines from my guys in the desert.
After the trade deadline, fresh odds for an NBA championship released on Monday. The Suns the favorite at plus 400. The Warriors at plus 425. The Nets had been the favorite. They're now at plus 475. The Bucks and Sixers each at plus 700. Golf, the 2022 Genesis Invitational underway on Thursday. John Rahm, the favorite at plus 900. Patrick Cantlay, plus 1200. Justin Thomas at plus 1600. College basketball tonight. Iowa State at TCU. The Cyclones trying to snap a four-game losing streak. Their 3-9 conference record last in the Big 12 along with West Virginia. Iowa State a 3.5-point road underdog. The over-under 128.
I'm Trey Westerberg, 1650 The Fan.
I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford with your weatherology forecast. Cloudy skies expected tonight with lows around 34. Southerly winds 15 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy again tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. Daytime highs approaching 39. Lows dip down to about 11. Tomorrow night, cloudy skies. Overcast Thursday. Decreasing clouds by Friday. Mid-teens Thursday. Upper 30s by Friday. With your weatherology Cedar Valley forecast, I'm meteorologist Megan Mulford. Right now, it's 40.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert, afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. Iowa State men's basketball on The Fan tonight at TCU. If you're just joining us, that's a 7 o'clock pregame, 8 o'clock tip-off. We talked clones with play-by-play voice John Walters yesterday on the show, so if you missed that, check it out at the all-new 1650thefan.com in podcast form before tonight's tip-off. Right now on the show, we're talking Iowa Hawkeyes hoops, so we've got our guy, David Eicholt, HawkeyeInsider.com. David, how you doing today, man? What'd you think of the Super Bowl?
Outside Ja'Marr Chase not scoring a touchdown, just, you know, for no particular reason. Great game. I think Joe Burrow's going to be a top three quarterback next year. I think he's going to be back, but it's a loaded conference. But I thought it lived up to the hype, and I was very happy to see Cooper Kupp get a ring with the season he had. I think Aaron Donald definitely deserved a ring as well. I think he could have won Super Bowl MVP with how he dominated the last few minutes. But I thought it lived up to expectations.
Yeah, I did too. And I share your pain for no particular reason. Not because the Bengals didn't lose the game by more than 4.5 points, but because that more than 48.5 points were not scored in that game. So
it just sounds like a good number, right? No particular reason, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it was a wash. It was a wash for the bank account on the betting app. But whatever, I'll take that. And yeah, like you, I agree. It was a good game. I think there's some people out there that didn't think it was a very good game. It's like, man, that's a you problem. That was a good football game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's the best way to sum that up. That's more of a you problem, not a product problem.
Exactly. Well, the Iowa men's basketball team, less problems than they had a couple weeks ago, David. I was saying at the top of the show that I made a point to sit down and watch that game against Nebraska on Sunday. And why the hell did the Huskers fire Tim Miles? Do you remember? Because I sure as hell don't. I just remember that guy taking them to the NCAA tournament, winning 20 games multiple times in Lincoln, freaking Nebraska.
I thought Tim Miles should have gotten another year. And if you remember when he went out, I think they were playing in the NIT or something.
Yeah.
And they had like six healthy players, and one of them was a walk-on, and they still nearly made it to the finals of it. I mean, I thought Tim Miles got the short end of the stick there, but, you know, when you hear whispers that you could potentially get Fred Hoiberg and the success he had at Iowa State, you know, I think you kind of got to take that risk, especially with all the money that Nebraska does put into basketball. I mean, look, people can clown Nebraska. They're the only Power 5 team never to win an NCAA tournament game. But, man, I'll tell you what, they have some beautiful facilities.
They do.
That's a passionate fan base that really wants to win, and they're going to share no expense at doing so. But at the end of the day, that's, you know, but again, people are going to laugh at this. It is a football school. That's what they want to be known for. And it's tough to recruit top-tier basketball players to that. And, you know, while Hoiberg's got some talent, Cole, they just haven't
– Yeah.
I there's just no cohesiveness. With all due respect to Fred Hoiberg and that program, I have never seen a more me team in the Big Ten than this year's Cornhuskers. I think they're good character kids. But there's just no chemistry whatsoever on the court.
Yeah, you know? it was pretty sorry to watch at times. Some of their turnovers they would commit, you could just tell. It was somebody trying to make a play all by themselves, and then they realize, hey, I can't make this play. Let me try and get rid of this ball. And it's just, like you said, a lot of me plays out there. And then if you're looking to move off of Fred Hoiberg, I understand that when Trev Alberts took the job as AD, he's like, so there was an extension that not many people knew about, and his buyout right now is $18.5 million.
Well, let's not act like Nebraska is opposed to paying coaches not to coach for them. They had three of them at one time in football alone, Cole. So I'm pretty sure if they want to write a big enough check, they are not going to be afraid to do it.
Oh, we'll have to see. Maybe years from now, I have a feeling they've dug themselves.
Here's my thing. Look, I get it. I get that there's the buyout and everything, Cole, but I don't know how you can watch that product in year three and say, yeah, we want him back for a fourth year. Yeah. You can't.
Yeah, well, maybe. They might have somebody to write that check, or few people to write enough checks. But the Iowa Hawkeyes, let's talk about something that's good vibes, and that's the Hawks right now. Three-game winning streak. You got a bunch of fans on your message board saying, you know, I've been saying all along Jordan Bohannon should have been playing point the whole season.
Very few. And then there'll be the people that claim they did but actually never did, just that look like Captain Hindsight genius. But, you know, that's their right. But, Cole, you know, again, I think you need to give Fran McCaffrey a lot of credit here, because right when Jordan moved to the one again with his struggles shooting the ball, everybody, 95% of what I was reading, people were not a fan of it because they love Joe Toussaint. They love the flair he brings. But in all reality, look at Joe Toussaint's turnover numbers, Cole. He's averaging, I think, 22% turnover rate. That's nearly a quarter of his possessions are ending up in a turnover. And in a Fran McCaffrey-run system that emphasizes not turning the ball over, you can't have an effective team like that. I think he can be a great defensive weapon. I think he can, you know, give you some spot minutes as the backup. But I think Jordan Bohannon is so much more comfortable. I think, obviously, you saw it against Maryland when he had 10 three-pointers against Nebraska. everything just seems to be flowing so much more smoothly. And I think their transition game's been better. And, you know, we talked about this last week, I think, Cole. Jordan Bohan's defense has actually been pretty good over the last couple of weeks. I think he's taken way too much crap for what he's been able to do defensively. I think he's putting in a lot of effort. I think he's making the right plays. Keegan Murray's ridiculously efficient. I think some other guys are starting to step up. Iowa put up back-to-back games of 98 points or more in Big Ten play. Now, granted, it's Maryland and it's Nebraska. But I think just to get the offense back on track when you're entering a stretch where you're going to have three games in 5 days against Michigan, Ohio State, and Michigan State, I think Iowa's feeling confident right now. And I think if they can at least split against Ohio State and Michigan, I think they're in a really, really good spot. If they can somehow steal 2 out of 3, I think they're in an excellent, excellent spot to potentially sneak into that sixth seed in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I think you make a great point, and I wanted to ask you a little bit about tournament implications today, more so as it relates to the Big Ten Conference. You know, in my world, I'm hearing a lot about the Big 12 with its 10 teams and only 9 eligible getting 8. What do you think the circumstances are right now for the Big Ten, made up of 14 teams? How many do you think could get in?
I think right now the latest projection I saw is 7. I think you could have 8. I think Michigan right now is just on the outside. I think that win against Purdue really saved their NCAA tournament hopes. And, you know, I'm going to catch some heat for this, Cole, but I'll say it. With all due respect to T.J. Otzelberger and Iowa State, I don't know how you put them in the tournament right now. I know they loaded up beginning of the season. I told you, just for clarity's sake, that I said T.J. Otzelberger after the first 2.5 months of the season, he was the coach of the year in the NCAA. Mm-hmm. I didn't think it was close. But that offense, man, it's just not efficient right now. They can't get buckets.
I'll tell you this. The one thing I'm worried about, too, because I played for a coach like this once. It's everything comes out of your defense is what he talks about. And he's been having that excuse all during this losing streak and for about 3 weeks of Big 12 play. And he keeps talking about effort and turning defense into offense. You can't keep doing post games where you're talking about your team's effort. You're going to lose the team.
Yep, I don't disagree with you at all. I mean, I look at that team, Cole. I mean, they're last in the Big. I mean, you can't put them in a. You just in no world, despite how good the Big 12 is, you cannot put a team with that record, conference record, in the NCAA tournament. I don't think it's right. I think tonight is without a doubt the biggest game of Iowa State season if they want to keep their tournament hopes alive.
And in fairness to them, David, they still have a path. There's still games that they can win and get in. Another thing that comes to mind, too, as far as talking about the clones is eye test. You know, that's another thing where right now you put them on the eye test and they look pretty bad. They have a path. So that's fortunate for them. And I mean, what you said there about Michigan, you know, beating Purdue, that's the feather in the cap that they needed to potentially push it to 8 Big Ten teams. Just to circle back real quick on the lineup stuff. Watching that game, now it's Nebraska, so grain of salt, obviously. But I like how it's J-Bo, an offensively driven player, with Tony Perkins in that starting lineup, who's a defensively driven player in the backcourt. And then when you bring in your first subs, you flip-flop it, where your point guard is Joe Toussaint, who's, I think, more talented defensively, and then Peyton Sanford, who seems to be getting more comfortable and more confident. And I think Peyton Sanford's a potentially big piece for this Hawkeye team down the stretch.
Your eye test is good, Cole. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more on that. And, you know, with all due respect, too, I really want to make this point about the eye test and stuff, and I'll flip back to your question.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not going to sit here and pretend Iowa's eye test is beautiful. Like, I don't want to be hypocritical for talking about Iowa State. Iowa's eye test at times has been horrible. Mm-hmm. But you look at their net ranking, they're 19th right now. They're not going to be left out of the tournament despite having 0 quad one wins, which is interesting because Providence is 5 and they're ranked, I think, 30th in the net rankings. But to flip back to your question, Cole, I've said this. I don't know if I've said this to you. I've said this to a couple people behind the scenes. I do like Tony Perkins in that starting lineup, but he hasn't looked like the same player. And this might be kind of a hot take. I would love to see Peyton Sanford start the 2.
Yeah.
I would love to see Bohannon 1, Sanford 2, Patrick at 3, Keegan at 4, and Phillip at the 5. I think Peyton is just a guy. He's going to be a microwave. He's a guy that has a quick release, a beautiful shooting stroke. I think he's going to have be a big piece of this Iowa team for the next three seasons with his ability to get hot. And with Iowa right now, before the Maryland game, Cole, they're tied dead last in three-point percentage. After the Maryland game, they went all the way up to number eight in Big Ten conference games. That's how much that one game kind of, you know, swung it, in Iowa's favor. I would love to see Samford at 6'8", quick shooter. Not great defensively, but he's shown a lot of effort. He's gotten a little bit better. I'd love to see him at that two-guard spot. Then you bring Perkins off the bench. You bring Chris Murray. And, you know, Chris, people want Chris Murray starting. I understand that. But you need that kind of guy in your backup role. And you need that. And I think, you know, Chris Murray's perfect for that. And I still think he should be playing about 25 minutes a game. But I really do love Samford. I think if Iowa's going to make a run, they're going to need him to get hot. And I think that's why it's been so big that he's already played more minutes in February than he did the entire month of January.
That's interesting. And, you know, as far as Samford is concerned, potentially being in a starting lineup, you know, you put J-Bo at the one, and the four just gets spaced a little bit more.
Yep.
And that needed to happen for Keegan Murray as teams continue to design their game plans around stopping him. You inject a little more floor spacing in there, and, you know, that's – who the hell knows, man? Keegan Murray might rip off a 50-piece at that point because, I tell you what, it was like man amongst boys. It was like varsity JV watching him do what he did to Nebraska.
I think I tweeted after Iowa went down 15-11 and then Keegan had back-to-back baskets and before he had the 12-0 run. I think I tweeted that Keegan Murray just realized that he's literally better than everybody on the floor and it isn't close. And then he just absolutely took over from there.
Yeah, he absolutely did. And I tell you what, I think this Iowa team's capturing some momentum at the right time. And a few guys in that lineup, like we've talked today, are gaining some confidence that are going to be key. And it's just going to come down to what seed line they get on and what kind of draw that they get in terms of maybe making some noise in the tournament, I would think.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, again, you look at Iowa's team last year, everybody thought they could go to the Final Four. I still think that team could have, but they got a bad draw. And, you know, at the end of the day, Oregon at the time executed a lot better, but that was also a perfect team to upset Iowa in that sort of game. And obviously it happened, but you know, the NCAA tournament's 50% matchup, 50% talent, in my opinion.
David, great stuff, man. We'll catch up again next week and enjoy your time.
I appreciate you, Cole. Take care, buddy. Have a good week.
David Eichel, HawkeyeInsider.com, kind enough to join us on a Tuesday edition of Cole and Company. All right, let's take this next time out. Radio Iowa Sports with Todd Kim coming up on the other side of the break. We go from talking college hoops to high school hoops. The girls are already in postseason play, and the boys will be there next week. So we're going to bring in Dave Finnegan, our outstanding Cedar Falls boys and girls basketball play-by-play voice. You hear him over on our companion station all season long, Cruising KCFI. Dave joins us next to break down the Tiger boys and girls ahead of postseason play right here on a Tuesday edition of Cole & Company on The Fan.
This Radio Iowa Sports Report is presented by the Iowa Department of Public Safety Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau. Before you know it, a few drinks can become a few too many. If you drink, don't drive. Call for a ride.
Good afternoon. I'm Todd Kim. Iowa State looks to snap a four-game losing streak tonight at TCU. The Cyclones fell at home to the Horned Frogs 59-44 last month, and Coach T.J. Otzelberger says his team needs a better start tonight.
Physicality, ball toughness, them finishing plays in the paint, us not, was what kind of set the tone for the game. And, you know, we haven't been great this year when we've had to play from behind. And it's a shame that we put ourselves in such a bad spot at Hilton to have to play from behind.
The Cyclones are 3-9 in the Big 12. It's an 8 o'clock tip-off in Fort Worth. UNI is on the road in the Missouri Valley to take on Illinois State. The Panthers 10-4 in conference play after a lopsided loss at Loyola. This is Radio Iowa.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
February is National Children's Dental Health Month, and it's easy to help your little ones be cavity-free. Start by scheduling their first dental visit by their first birthday, along with other easy habits such as brushing twice a day with fluoride toothpaste, eating healthy foods, and drinking fluoridated water. A child can have a healthy smile to last a lifetime. Even the littlest superheroes need to see the dentist. Visit iSmile.idph.iowa.gov for more information. Brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Health's iSmile program.
Here's the deal. I've had constipation with belly pain, discomfort, and bloating for years. I've tried a lot of laxatives and fiber supplements, but my symptoms keep coming back.
You could have a chronic condition called irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C. Linzess, or linaclotide, is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. Linzess works differently than laxatives. It lets you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2 years old. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. There could be more to your story with IBS-C. Talk to a doctor today. Say yes to Linzess. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS. Sponsored by Abbvie and Ironwood Pharmaceuticals.
Got a critter question? Call the Scoop Feed and Supply today. They feed almost every hungry animal except humans. Check out the Scoop Feed and Supply in Waterloo.
Western Home Communities in Cedar Falls is proud to support high school athletics. Assertively creating fulfilling lifestyles for residents, families, and employees, visit westernhomecommunities.org.
L&N Transportation, committed to the Cedar Valley and proud to sponsor area high school sports action. L&N Transportation, experienced, reliable transportation specialists.
Love your home with City Builders, offering composite windows, the most energy efficient window made in America. City Builders also carries their exclusive luxury bath systems done in a day. City Builders state-of-the-art showroom featuring all of their products and experts to help make the remodeling process easy. Experience quality products with quality installation. Love your home with City Builders. Visit their showroom today at 2009 Center Street, Cedar Falls, or call 277-4000.
Welcome back to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan.
Welcome back. Tuesday edition of the show continues. I am your host, Colbert, and in case you missed it, we were talking Iowa Hawkeye hoops with David Eicholt in the previous segment. We go to the high school hardwood now, where Dave Finnegan, our outstanding play-by-play voice on our companion station, Cruising KCFI for Cedar Falls Tigers boys and girls basketball, joins us now. Dave will have the call of Dubuque Hempstead at Cedar Falls tonight, a boys basketball matchup as the boys are wrapping up their regular season this week. The girls have postseason play underway, and we will get girls postseason Tiger basketball tomorrow night over on Cruising KCFI, as Cedar Rapids Jefferson will play the Tigers in a first-round game. Dave, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. And me and you, man, we are battening down the hatches, circling our wagons, getting everything ready to bring postseason basketball to everybody. So before we do that, though, the boys, as I mentioned, they got to wrap up their regular season this week, and the Dubuque Hempstead Mustangs are in town. First matchup between these two teams this season, and on paper you go, okay, Tigers should be able to win this game, but what do we know about a Hempstead team that's got double-digit wins and in a conference that's had so much parity this season? I imagine could be a threat tonight.
Absolutely, and the things that stand out most to me are the veteran leadership. Their top six scorers and their rotation are all seniors, and at the top of that rotation they've got Cameron Sens, who's 6'11". Very few teams across the state are going to have a body that matches up in that way with anybody in that way. So the Tigers are going to have to do some things defensively here tonight to offset that size in the interior. He's really kind of a throwback post. Really a kind of a block to block kind of kid, as opposed to the more of the stretch kind of player you see these days. And then Kellen Strohmeyer's a terrific wing. He's averaging about 15 points a ball game. And the Tigers are really going to have to key on those two if they're going to continue their success.
It sounds like Cade Corbett's going to have his hands full tonight defensively in this game against Hempstead, Dave. And it just makes me think, you know, obviously a lot of the conversation about this Tiger team begins with Trey Campbell. There's a lot of talk about junior Dallas Bear, who continues to develop his game. But how about Cade Corbett, Aaron Brost? I know a freshman and Anthony Galvin. You know, some of these guys that maybe don't get their names in the paper quite as much. Over the past couple, 3 weeks, who's really stuck out among that group?
The one kid that I have to make sure that I talk a little bit about here today is Derek Woods. And he's been the guy from a standpoint of guarding the other team's best player most nights. He's not the biggest dog in the fight. He's just, I mean, he's just, I say just 6'1". This is me talking at 5'8 right now. But he's almost always going to guard the other team's best player, or at the very least their best perimeter player. And night in, night out, in watching this Tiger team play, you see the top scorer on their opponent's side averaging well below their season average. So if he draws the assignment tonight on Strohmeyer, for example, who's averaging 15 a game, you can almost say, you know, if that's going to be a spot where the Tigers are going to gain and say, Strohmeyer's maybe only going to score 6 or 8 points tonight, and that Dubuque Hempstead's going to have to find somebody else. And that's because of Derek Woods. He's such a hard worker. He's one of those perfect glue-type kids that every team that has big success in the postseason has on their roster this time of year.
Dave, that just makes me think here, you know, with Coach Schultz coming on the show a few times this season, talking to you about what you've heard from him and just listening to you talk about the team, defense has been such a big part of the conversation. So what a valuable asset Derek Woods has proven to be for these Tigers. And then it just makes me think, what luxuries that's got to provide Coach Schultz if he wants to start trapping the ball screen, or if he wants to start, you know, maybe trapping a post player who doesn't handle it very well. He can use Trey Campbell more as a defensive weapon than just a defensive matchup guy.
I think there are a couple things to touch on there. I think Trey's a defensive weapon regardless of where they put him on the floor. He's got such range with the long arms, and at 6'4", I mean, he plays like he's a 6'8" kind of guy. He's somebody you could put at the front of the zone. He's somebody you could put, you know, in the middle, you know, in a 2-3 type situation. And he's not going to shy away from digging in on the defensive end of the floor either. But I mean, the Tigers, I would say on Friday night they struggled a little bit on the defensive end. I mean, they came away with the win 66-60 against Western Dubuque. But I mean, there was really a stretch of about 5 or 6 quarters where they just didn't play their best on the defensive end, and that kind of, you know, took a turn for the better towards the end of the Waverly-Show Rock game on Saturday night. The Tigers only allowed, I think it was 13 points in the second half to the Gohawks. They led by 5 at halftime. They ended up winning that game by 33. So
wow.
I think the buy-in on the defensive end is really what sets this team apart and what will continue to set this team apart. And they've got a really challenging sub-state in front of them. They're going to have that buy-in all the way through.
Yeah, they do have a challenging sub-state. Dave Finnegan, play-by-play voice on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, for Cedar Falls Tiger boys and girls basketball, breaking both teams down ahead of postseason play. And speaking of Trey Campbell, Dave, you've watched this young man throughout his Tiger career. What about the senior version of Trey Campbell has stuck out versus the body of work you had seen in previous seasons from Trey?
I think from Trey, it's just his quiet leadership skills on the floor, on both ends of the floor. Just from a standpoint of in the past, they've always had, you know, a Landon Wolf or a Chase Corbett or somebody of that ilk that's a Division I type talent that you could say, all right, we're going to be able to go to one of those kids. Or even, you know, going back to Josh Olendyke or a Jack Campbell even before that, mm-hmm. for you Hawkeye football fans who remember that. But, I mean, we're talking about a kid who's started, you know, as a freshman and, you know, didn't sniff the floor during the second state championship run. But, I mean, just from year to year, I mean, his improvement, his maturity, if in terms of his ability to put a team on his shoulders and never never complain for a second about any role he would have to take is just really the thing that stands out about him to me. Is just, I mean, you can't always quantify it statistically, the impact that he has on not only himself, but the rest of his teammates as well.
How about Dallas Bear? What have you seen in terms of the development of his game this season for the Tigers? Because he's proven to be such an important piece.
Dallas has really shown his biggest growth inside the arc this season. I think in the past couple of years, I guess last year, I guess was his first varsity season, but was more of a standstill type shooter, kind of a sixth, seventh man off the bench where you could, you know, from night to night, you could see him, you know, getting, you know, a couple, two or three threes a night, and you have that every so often kind of game where he goes off and gets you 15 or 20. But he's been a lot more consistent this year in all parts of his offensive game. I think defensively he's really improved as well. He's drawing a lot more of those higher profile assignments. I can see him tonight having the opportunity to get a chance to guard a Cameron Fenz at least, you know, for a part of the time. So I think that the coaching staff really has that trust in him on both ends of the floor, that he's somebody that they're not afraid to call a big play for, and he's somebody that they're not afraid to say, all right, you've got to go out and get us a stop on this possession.
Dave Finnegan, Cedar Falls Boys and Girls Basketball play-by-play voice, our guest right now. All right, Dave, let's turn the page and talk about Cedar Falls Tiger Girls Basketball with Coach Greg Groen. They got a big win on Saturday, 57-56 over number 5 Dowling. It might sound a little cheesy, a little homerish, but is this the best 7-loss team in the state?
Well, there are probably about 60 teams right now that would like to make a similar
sure.
claim, but it would be tough for me to find anybody that's much better than that. And I mean, part of that is you're playing the Mississippi Valley Conference opponent, which from top to bottom, I think is by far the best 5A conference in the state this season. I mean, not to be disrespectful to the CIML, but I think from top to bottom, I think the MVC has been the best conference in the state this season on the girls' side for sure. But I mean, the Tigers just needed a little extra time this season to kind of develop. They didn't know exactly what they had with a couple of pieces, and I think the growth, particularly of Maya Crawford here over the last probably 4 or 5 games, has really been something that the Tigers have been kind of hoping that would come along at a certain point. And she's really, I had mentioned this to somebody else the other night in the course of a conversation, but really coming off it the way Emerson Green did towards the end of her freshman year, really starting to have the ability to take over games, hit some big shots. She went for 32 points the other night against Western Dubuque, so she can step up and she can have that big game, whereas I don't think she would have early this season.
And it seems like they've been able to figure out their blueprint, Dave. Like you mentioned, it's a team that needed some time, but you know, you've seen it play out this season. What ultimately goes into this team when they're playing at their best? It seems like they can compete with just about anybody in Class 5A when they're doing that.
I mean, it's going to sound super simplistic to say make shots, but it's making shots. And the Tigers, you know, they've got 4 players this season that have scored a total of 200 points or more. They've got 4 players that are averaging in double figures with a fifth one in Sydney Remmer who's knocking on the door of that figure. So I think on any given night, any one of those players can step up and have that big game. But I mean, as long as the Tigers are hitting threes, we saw it on the 5th of February against Iowa City Liberty. Cedar Falls hit 15 threes in that game, won easily. They've won all, I mean, with the exception of the Dowling game this past Saturday, they've won all of their last 5 games relatively handily. And a part of that is the shots are finally just starting to fall. The 3-point percentage just started to creep up a little bit. The free throw percentage started to creep up a little bit. So I think that, you know, on nights where the shots are falling, I don't think it matters who the opponent is. They're going to be in any game if they can continue their success on the offensive end.
Just real quickly, Dave, how about the challenge tomorrow night, first round Class 5A game, sub-state game against Cedar Rapids Jefferson?
I think in years past, Cole, that this would be a team that on paper, you'd say, you know what, forget about it. This is going to be an easy one. But this is absolutely not going to be an easy game. This is a much improved Jefferson team. They won four games combined in their last three seasons. They're 6-15 now this season. So I think that speaks to the overall improvement they've made. They've got a young group, but they've got three tremendous players in Emmett Sling, Jeriah Harris, Aubrey Louvon, who are really going to be important for the Tigers to key on them defensively. Coach Grone mostly will play that man-to-man style, mix up a few kind of half-court zone looks from time to time. But the Tigers are going to have their hands full. This is not going to be an easy win. Cedar Falls won this one earlier this season, but, I mean, you don't take anything for granted. You're not overlooking anybody at this point in the year.
Hardest working man in play-by-play sports right now, Dave Finnegan, kind enough to join us on this Tuesday edition of Cole & Company. I put a little more work on his plate, so thanks so much, Dave. Great stuff, and have a great call tonight.
Wouldn't have it any other way, Cole. I certainly appreciate it. Thanks.
All right, you got it. Dave Finnegan, let's take this time out. We'll come back, wrap up the show right after this.
Hi, I'm Mike Hamm with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. The Rams still basking in the afterglow of their Super Bowl 56 win, and before heading off for the traditional celebratory trip to Disneyland Monday, Super Bowl MVP Cooper Kupp said it was the Rams' selflessness that helped them become champs.
So many guys have just respected this game, have just put in the work and the time, and that was a huge thing coming into this. So many guys just said, you've got guys here that deserve a Super Bowl, we got to win this for them, and guys play for each other. That's what kind of makes this team so special.
Not all good news for the Rams. Though NFL Network insider Ian Rappaport says the team fears receiver Odell Beckham Jr. towards ACL in the Super Bowl. OBJ is set to be a free agent next month. And after mysteriously removing all mentions to the Arizona Cardinals from his social media accounts, Kyler Murray posted a photo Monday in his Cardinals uniform with a message that read, "I play this game for the love of it. All this nonsense is not what I'm about. I'm going to continue to grow and get better." This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
Meet Linda. Hello. Linda just bought a smart home hub and was ecstatic to see her grandkids on their weekly chats. However, this grandma spends most of her time troubleshooting across time zones. Fortunately for Linda, technical support is right down the road. With CFU Wi-Fi, our highly trained technician will install a new Wi-Fi system and connect all of her devices. Now, Linda can chat with her family and ask about their week instead of her password. CFU Wi-Fi. Wi-Fi made simple.
I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise. With the Super Bowl behind us, the NFL will now have nothing to distract fans from the Stephen Ross, Daniel Snyder allegations. Ross is accused of offering $100,000 per loss to his former coach, Brian Flores. It's basically the same thing as fixing a game. Then there's Daniel Snyder. Snyder and his Washington Commanders are facing widespread allegations of harassment. Again, it's not the type of image the league wants, and to make matters worse for the NFL, there are no longer games to hide behind. That could be a good thing, though. For years, we've seen NFL controversies get swept under the rug. But between the timing and seriousness of the allegations, this time could be different. Reports are both owners could be at risk of losing their teams. That could be a great first step for the league. But with the power the owners have, it's hard to imagine these two going down without a fight. And if that's the case, the NFL offseason could get ugly very fast. I'm Dan Patrick, and this is Above the Noise.
Psst. Hey, it's me, your dream. What happened, man? We used to be tight. I say it's time we get back together. You and me, your dream, living the van life in a Mercedes-Benz Sprinter. You could start a business or build a log cabin, whatever you want. It's a Mercedes-Benz van, so it's chock full of innovative safety features. All I'm saying is don't forget about me. I mean, I am your lifelong dream. So what do you say? Let's head to the Mercedes-Benz Vans dealership and get that Sprinter.
Is your current home loan the right fit for you? Near historic low rates may be a great reason to refinance, but when matched with an expertly chosen loan from Loan Depot, you could be saving money and paying more towards the bottom line. Call a Loan Depot loan officer and ask about our 27-year smart term loan or our 10-year ARM loan. Get a great rate matched with a great loan by calling 866-888-LOAN or visit loandepot.com. At Loan Depot, home means everything. Rates are subject to change. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing opportunity. NMLS number 174457. Licensed in all 50 states.
You're listening to Cole and Company with Colbert. Afternoons 5 to 6 on 1650. The Fan.
Yeah, thanks for tuning in today. A lot of fun talking hoops with David Eicholt of HawkeyeInsider.com and Dave Finnegan. our outstanding play-by-play voice for Cedar Falls Tigers girls and boys basketball. And in case you missed it in that last segment talking to Dave, we've got Cedar Falls Tigers boys basketball over on our companion station, Cruising KCFI, tonight, 7:15. Coverage starts around that time. Cedar Falls girls basketball tomorrow night. Then it's boys basketball again, the season finale, regular season finale on Thursday night. Three nights in a row, Tiger basketball over on Cruising KCFI. Tonight here on The Fan, Iowa State men's basketball in desperate need of a win. They're at TCU. Pregame at 7, tip-off at 8. Thanks again, everyone. Have a great night. Back tomorrow at 5.
You've been listening to Cole and Company, the Cedar Valley's maximum sports talk show. Heard afternoons from 5 to 6 on 1650 The Fan and the all-new 102 at 102.3 FM.